I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Matthew, chapter 5, for the message this morning. I'm going to give all of you a homework assignment. I want you to read Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, before you come back to church tonight, especially the first half of the chapter, if you would. There will be a test. I'm kidding. Matthew chapter 5. I would like to begin reading in verse 18. The Bible says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Now, I want you to notice what that says. Not one jot, not one tittle, and I'll explain all that in just a little bit, will pass from the law till all be fulfilled. I want you to go back to the fourth chapter for just a moment and look, please, at verse 4. "But he answered and said, It is written." Now, this is the Lord Jesus talking to the devil. The devil was tempting him here. "And he," Christ, "answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by," what's the next word? "Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Another sobering verse of Scripture, would you say? Look, please, at chapter 24. In chapter 24, verse 35. The Lord Jesus is giving what we call the Olivet Discourse. He is speaking to His disciples on the Mount of Olives just before His crucifixion. And in verse 35, the Lord says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, the authority of the Scriptures. The authority of the Scriptures. I want you to listen to the argument that I'm going to give you this morning before you make any judgments or decisions. I want everybody in this room to understand that I believe with every fiber of my being that the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God is the infallible, inspired Word of God. If I did not believe that, what am I doing here? If I don't have God's Word, then we're in trouble. If these verses that I just read are true, and I believe they are, we've got to have the Word of God. And I believe with every fiber of my being that the Bible is the inspired, infallible Word of God given to us by God Himself. I don't apologize for that. I don't take a backward step and say, except for here, except for there. Without equivocation, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. Now, I just want you to know where I am before I ever say another word. Because everything that I'm going to say from henceforth to the end of the sermon will amplify upon that foundation. The authority of the Scriptures. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then I want to just spend a little time this morning bragging on the Bible and letting you know what a wonderful book this is. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Lord, we're thankful that You gave us Your Word. We're thankful that we don't have to just do our best and flail around down here trying to please You, trying to meet Your demands. But Lord, we have a Bible that gives us specific instructions on how we can be rightly related to You. We have a Bible that is a manual to show us how to live for God. And so, Father, I pray that as I speak on the subject of the authority of Scripture this morning, that You will bless it, that, Lord, You will help me. This is Your Word. And the only thing the Lord Jesus ever put above His own name was His own Word. And so, Father, help us now today And I pray that you will just fill me and help me to reason and explain so that folks can clearly see what the devil's trying to do and to get us to doubt the Scriptures. Father, give us understanding. Open our minds and hearts that we might see the truth of your word today. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, I have, and in, actually going back to last week and this week, I have had several people ask me about the Bible. I've had folks ask me about the reliability of the Bible. I've had folks ask me how we got our Bibles. I have had folks from outside of our church and outside of our community who have called me and asked my opinion on a certain version of the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. I had one person bring their Scofield Reference Bible, which many of us have as our Bibles. And they showed me 1 John 5:7 and showed me then Mr. Scofield's little explanation that this verse cannot be found in most ancient manuscripts. And then they asked me the question. They said, well, Pastor, when I read this, it puts doubt in my mind. It puts a question in my mind. Is this not supposed to be in the Bible? And so with all of the questions that I have been asked this week, I kind of felt like maybe if four or five or six people have some questions about this, maybe there are others that have questions about this. And maybe the subject of the authority of the Scripture is going to be one of those sermons that we just have to hear every so often with all the effort that the devil has put into trying to confuse the issue. I've heard preachers say, I mean, I've heard them preach sermons. I'm talking about good men that preach the Word. I've heard preachers say, and I've read in their books where they have said, a better translation of this word would be, and then they tell you what they think is a better translation of the word. Now, that has always bothered me a great deal. Every time I've read that, or every time I've heard that, I have just absolutely cringed in my soul whenever I hear somebody saying that they know more about what the Bible ought to say than what God knows about what the Bible ought to say. Then I've had people say to me, I've had them come up to me, and one did just recently, and said, Pastor, which version of the Bible would you recommend as a tool to help in Bible study? Which version would you recommend to help me in Bible study? And without amplifying upon that, let me just say, none. Just read the Bible. Just read your Bible. You'll understand it. You read it, you'll understand it. You don't need any other version of the Bible. So I figured that it was time to deal with this subject once again. So the question that I want to ask and then hopefully answer is a simple question. Can I trust my Bible? Can I trust my Bible? I read for you three verses of Scripture. I read for you Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, listen carefully now to the Bible, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Kind of sounds to me like Jesus said you could trust your Bible, does it not? Listen to Matthew 4:4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, folks, listen. Just reason for a moment. Would you do that with me? Just think for a moment and let me just reason with you and show you something very important. In Matthew 4:4, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, just using reasoning for a moment. Just using reasoning. Somewhere is the Word of God. Jesus said that I have got to have the Word of God in order to have life. I've got to have the Word of God in order to have life. And somewhere is the Word of God that I need for life. Now listen, if this is not the Word of God, if what I have is not the Word of God, then I had best lay this over here to the side and do what I can to find the Word of God. Does that not make sense to you? I mean, that's just common deduction. That's just common reasoning. We've got to have the Bible. Now, hold your place here in Matthew, and I want you to go back to the book of the Psalms, and I want you to look with me at Psalm 12. Psalm 12. And I'm going to wait till everybody has it. Because I want you to get this. I want you to see this. This is such a simple little thing, and but yet it will help you to understand that you can trust your Bible. Look at Psalm 12 and the sixth verse. Psalm 12, verse 6. If you've got it, say amen. Amen. Well, I finally got an amen out of you. That's good. Verse 6, you got it? The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now watch this next verse very carefully. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Now, according to this seventh verse, whose job is it to keep the Word of God? No, not ours. Look at your Bible. Thou shalt keep them who? O Lord. It's not your job to preserve the Scriptures. It's God's job to preserve the Scriptures. Do you see that? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That means for us today. So it is not man's job to preserve the Scripture. It is God's job to preserve His Word. The preservation of the Word of God is not left up to man. It's left up to God. God promised us here that He would preserve His Word. Now, how does God preserve His Word? You know, it's amazing. All over the world, you can go into major cities all over the world, and you can go to a museum in that city. I've been to museums in Chicago and in Washington, D.C., and in Israel and in Egypt and in Guyana, South America. Believe it or not, there's actually a museum in Georgetown, Guyana. I've been to museums all over the world. I love to go and find stuff and see stuff that people have dug out of the earth or preserved from one civilization to another. Now, why is it that we can go into a museum and look at a bunch of old stuff and nobody questions whether or not it's real? You ever wonder that? We went to a couple of trips ago when we went to the Holy Land. We went to Cairo, Egypt, and we went to the Museum of Cairo, and they have all this stuff that they dug out of the sand from the pyramids and the burial places of all the pharaohs. And you go in there, they got a body. A preserved body, you know, a mummy. And they said that this mummy was one of the pharaohs. I'm off the medicine, but my mind just went blank. Thutmose III. They said, this is the body of Thutmose III. And I walked in there and I looked at that thing. And I thought, man, are you ugly? Good night. I mean, and that was what crossed my mind. But nonetheless, it was Thutmose III, they said. I stood there and looked at Thutmose III. I didn't question, I wonder if that's really Thutmose III. I think we ought to unwrap this guy and see if there's any tattoos on him or any ID bracelets or anything. No, I didn't do that. I just took their word for it that they knew what they were talking about. And I didn't question it. They had stuff in room after room after room and floor after floor after floor of just artifacts and things that they had dug up, and not one single person went in there and doubted anything that was there. Now, things are preserved all over the world in museums. And I read here that God, now wait a minute, not man, God, the eternal God of heaven, the God of creation, the God that spoke the world into existence, the God that took the dust of the earth and made man and breathed into man, and man became a living soul. I read here that God is the one who said, I will preserve my word. And yet we read what God says about preservation and we deny it. We deny it. Are you following the logic here? Are you seeing the point? Folks, listen, you can trust your Bible. You can trust that what you have is God's preserved word. And if I did not believe that I had the Word of God, I would do everything in my power to get the Word of God. Listen, if I did not believe that this Bible is the preserved Word of God, if I did not believe it, and I read in here that I must have the Word of God in order to have life, what I would suggest we do is have a meeting and take all the assets of the church and liquefy them, and then take all of our personal assets and liquefy them, get all of our insurance money, get all of our life savings, get every dime we've got, divide ourselves into groups, and then take that money and equally distribute it so we can afford to do what we need to do and literally scour this earth until we found God's Word. If I've got to have it in order to have life, and this is not it, then let's go find it, amen. You see what I'm saying? You see how ridiculous it is for folks to sit around and question the Word of God? It's a nothing more than a trick of the devil to get you off track. Now, The Word, the Bible, is inspired of God. That's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I believe that the Word of God is inspired by God Himself. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. And God breathed, and this book became the living Word. Hebrews 4:12 says that for the Word of God is quick and powerful. Now, you know what quick is. You take a pen and you stick it under your fingernail, you're going to scream. Why? Because that's quick. We call that the quick. That is alive in there. And you take a pen which does not belong there and you stick it in there, you'll find out that that is living material underneath your finger. The word quick means alive. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Folks, listen, you can rest assured that God has spoken and given us His Word. You can rest assured. The Holy Bible must have been inspired of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe that good men wrote it to deceive. And bad men would not, if they could, proceed to write a book so good. And no crazy man could e'er conceive its wondrous plan. So pray what other groups of men than do these three groups comprehend. So it must be that God inspired the souls and pens that prophets fired. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Inspired, preserved, and from the very throne of God Himself. All of it. All of it. Every word, every line, every jot, every tittle. Going back to Matthew, Jesus made the point. He said that he believed in jot and tittle inspiration. When I was ordained, they asked me, said, do you believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture? Verbal means word. Then every word is the inspired word of God. I said, yes, I do. I said, but I take it a little further than that. Boy, they all, you know, everybody just, you could see the fear in their faces. They thought, oh no, we got a heretic on our hands. I said, I take it one step further. Not only do I believe in verbal inspiration, I believe, like Jesus did, in jot and tittle inspiration. You say, what's a jot? A jot is the ninth letter in the Greek alphabet, the letter iota, which is a short I sound. Iota. Iota means little, because it's just a jot. It's the smallest of all the letters in the alphabet. It's just one little mark, an iota, and it means little. It means insignificant. Every letter, even the smallest and most insignificant, is inspired and preserved by God. A tittle is like a little curly Q. You know, when we make a Q, watch me. We make a Q, we draw the zero, and then we come down, we make that little line down at the bottom and turn it up. That little curly Q, that little mark off of the O, is what's called a tittle. So here's one. Here's your circle, and then a line down, and you've got a B. And that little line that comes down makes that a B, distinguishes it from an O. And that little mark is a tittle. And Jesus said, every jot, even the most insignificant and smallest of letters, and even every tittle, is inspired by God Himself. Folks, you've got a Bible. Read it, trust it, and realize that God knows what He's talking about. I'm saying God inspired this book. It lives with the breath of God. Now, let me give you a definition of the Word of God. A definition of the Word of God. It is God's book of truth, spoken by God Himself without a mixture of error. Again, going back to Psalm 12, 6 and 7, the words of the Lord are pure words. No error. No error. I get amused at these people who say, oh, but that King James Version of the Bible has got errors in it. Find one. There's no errors in the Bible. Find one. You say, well, mine's got an error. It's got a word spelled wrong. That is not, that may be. I think there were several editions of the Bible that had some words spelled wrong. But that's not the Holy Spirit's fault. That's man's fault for misspelling the word. There's no errors in the Bible. I've had people say, well, there's errors in the Bible. Find one. You're just quoting what you heard somebody else say that did not believe that the Bible was the final authority and that they should follow the Bible. This verse says that the words of the Lord are pure words as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Seven is always the number of perfection in the Bible. Folks, God made sure that He gave us a pure word. You can trust your Bible. The Bible is inspired and it's pure and it's preserved. Now, if this is not God's word, I vote we dismiss and divide up. And let's scan the globe until we do find the Word of God. If this is not God's Word, and Jesus said we had to have God's Word to live, then I'm telling you, folks, we better get busy finding God's Word. But you know what I believe? I believe that this is the Word of God. I believe it is the Word of God. Turn back to Genesis chapter 1 for just a minute. Let me show you something. Let me show you something else. Just trying to make the point. Everybody following me? I'm not sure I'm following myself, but I know where I'm having fun going down the road, I tell you that. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Now, hey, if you were going to go down here to the mall and go to that bookstore down there and buy you a novel, you buy the novel, you bring it home, you're not going to start reading in the middle of the book, right? You're going to read at the beginning of the book. Make sense? Now, sometimes I'll buy one, I'll go read the last chapter. Just, I don't know why I do that, but sometimes I do. I read the last chapter, I guess I kind of want to see how he leads up to where he's getting to. But if you buy a book, most generally, you're going to start on page one with the first word and at the beginning of the book. Nod your heads, right? Okay, let's do that with the Bible. Let's just do that with the Bible. Let me show you something here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now watch. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said. Did you catch that? If you're not careful, you'll just blow right through that without stopping to think, wait a minute, God said? You mean God said something? Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, God has said a whole bunch. And God said. Folks, I have not read three verses of the Word of God before I am confronted with the fact that the very words that I am reading are the words of God Almighty Himself. That's pretty cool, don't you think? This is the Word of God. In the first five books, what we call the Pentateuch, the Law, it says some 500 times that these are the words of God. In the prophets, 1,111 times, I am told that the words that I'm reading in the books of the prophets are the words of God. In the entire Old Testament, 3,808 times, the Bible claims that the words that I'm reading are the very words of God. And my question is, why do we want to deny that we have the preserved Word of God? Why do we want to question its authenticity? Why do we want to question its inspiration? Why do we want to question its purity? Why do we want to question its power? Why do we want to question its preservation? I mean, those things are not even open for argument when you realize that this is the Word of God. You know, I've never doubted it. I don't know why, but I just never have doubted it. I mean, I guess when I was little, even before I got saved, my mother taught me that the Bible was the Word of God. I never questioned my mother. No, sir. If my mom said it was, then it was. I never questioned that. When I went back to church at 16 years of age, and the pastor stood and said, "Open your Bible." I took the Bible that I had at home, and I opened that Bible to the passage of Scripture that he had me that he was going to preach to me from. And when I turned and opened that Bible, it did not flash through my mind, "Oh, I'm not sure this is really God's Word. I don't know. You better really think this thing." No, I believed it was God's Word. When I got saved, the pastor stood me in front of everybody, and he said, "Folks, I want you to know North got saved here this morning," and everybody said amen, and some of them said, "I can't believe it." But I did. I got saved, and my pastor had a red Bible, and all Bibles ought to be red, don't you think? R-E-A-D, R-E-A-D, red. Oh, wake up over here. Good night. And he shook that Bible at me. I mean, shook it at me in front of the whole church. And he said, "Son, you read your Bible every day." And I said, yes, sir. It was no problem for me. I graduated from Bible college, took my first church. And when I took my first church, all of a sudden, that's when everybody started selling the Bible of the month. You remember that? Man, they were advertising them on TV. You've got to have this translation of the Scriptures. And every one of them, I noticed, had a catalog number, and they had a copyright number. Every one of them. You check your King James Version of the Bible, there's no copyright date. You see, this has always been and always will be. They had this before they even ever had a printing press. This is God's preserved Word. Why do we want to deny that, folks? I'll tell you why. Because we don't want to be put under its authority. If we can justify in our minds that this is really not the Bible, then we don't have to do what it says. Are you listening? Ouch. If you can't say amen, just say ouch every now and then. You with me on that? Folks, no church. Listen, we have got to get back to understanding that this is the Word of God and it is the final authority. We've let those with what I call lower education, which has the audacity to call itself higher education, take God's Word and tell us what it really means. We've let education and the pursuit of truth take the place of faith. Now, folks, just hear me and hear me good. Let's reason again for just a moment. Since the Word of God is our authority, we simply must have it. We must have it. Now, that's a profound statement. Since the Word of God is our authority, we simply must have it. Shall we have an authority that we cannot find? Would God tell us His Word is the final authority, then leave us without His Word? Folks, we got to have the Bible. Let me illustrate that. Suppose you came back to church tonight, and I got up and I said, folks, I need to talk to you for a little while. I called all the deacons together this morning. We've been meeting for the last 4 hours this afternoon. And we came to a decision, and I need to talk to you. We have decided that from henceforth, now and forevermore, if you want to be a member of this church and you want to serve, you want to be in a choir, or you want to be in the orchestra, or you want to be a Sunday school teacher, or you want to work on the buses, no matter what, if you want to be a member of this church in good standing, we've decided that what the Bible says about tithing, 10%, is we're going to do away with that. And what we've decided is that if you're going to be a member in good standing around here, you've got to start tithing 25%. Now, Tom's over there smiling, nodding his head. Amen, yes. Tom's our treasurer. Tom's going, yeah, I like that idea, preacher. No, now, wait a minute now. We're going to lay the Bible over here. See, this was our final authority, but now we're laying it over here, and we're saying that all the men on the council, which you elected as deacons to serve in this church, therefore they represent you, we now have decided we're not going to do what that says. We're going to do what we say. And now instead of the Bible being the final authority, man has become the final authority. You understand the point? Now, what would happen if we did that? Somebody stand up, raise your hand, and say, Pastor, I got a little question for you. Yeah? What is it? I thought we went by the Bible around here. Well, not anymore. Not anymore. We're going to be the final authority. You see, something has to be your final authority. Right? You say, well, that's unheard of. No, it's not. That's the way the Catholics have been doing it since their inception.
Can I prove it to you? Find me El Papa in this Bible. He's not there. He said, well, it's in the Greek. No, it's not even in the Greek. Well, it's in a footnote somewhere. No, it's not even in a footnote anywhere. You say, well, where did that come from? It came from man's authority. Find me all this Virgin Mary stuff. Find me the juice becoming literal blood. Not there. Find me the bread becoming the literal body of Christ. No, that's cannibalism. You say, well, where did that come from? Man, meeting in a back room somewhere saying, this is what we're going to do. Find me where the minister is not supposed to marry. Find that for me. Sure, it's got to be somewhere, not in the book. You understand what I'm saying? So, if we've got to have a copy of God's Word, or we just may as well all become Catholics and let the church be the final authority. All right, sit still. You didn't like that one. You really got to like this one. If we don't have God's Word, we may as well just all become charismatics and let our experience be the final authority. You see, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. They say, I know what I felt. I know what I experienced. I got on an airplane a couple years ago, sat down, and this lady came in and sat down beside me. She was an evangelist. Evangelist Sue. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to preach. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to preach. And I know I shouldn't have said it, but I said, you ain't supposed to do that. Well, who do you think you are? I said, I believe the Bible. And I took her to the Bible. And I showed her where the bishop, the pastor, is to be the husband of one wife. I said, young lady, that rules you out. You cannot be the husband of one wife. I took her to the other passage where it said that the woman is not to usurp authority over a man. Her exact words, I don't care. I know what I felt. God called me. Now, I don't doubt she was called, but it wasn't God that called her, because God is not going to violate His Word. Hello. Did everybody go home? What happened here? Kind of hard to argue with the truth, is it not? All right, sit still. If we don't have God's Word, we may as well just all become liberals and let our human reasoning be the final authority. Well, I just want to worship God the way I want to worship Him. Sorry. God gave us a book here, told us how to worship Him. Well, I just think we ought to bring the Ooh Baby singers in here and let's all jam for Jesus. I'm sorry, but that's not what my authority tells me. I got a manual here that tells me how I'm supposed to serve Jesus. But the Bible, I believe it's God's preserved, pure, powerful, living Word. And it's the final authority. Folks, it doesn't need upgraded, doesn't need corrected, doesn't need reworked, doesn't need rewritten, doesn't need paraphrased, doesn't need revised. All it needs is reread. You see, the problem is we don't read the Bible. That's our problem. We just don't read the Bible. Turn over to 1 John 5 real quick and I'll close. I'm not done, but I'll quit. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 7. 1 John 5, verse 7. How many of you are hungry? Raise your hand. Me too. You got it? 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Let me read you a neat little verse. Watch this now. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. And who is that Word? Jesus. This is a pretty good verse, is it not? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, Jesus, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I like that verse. I'll just preach on that verse tonight. That's a great verse. Now, don't raise your hand, but some of you, several of you probably, have a Scofield Reference Bible. The reason that so many of us have a Scofield Reference Bible is because John Rice used one. And Jack House used one for eons. And his granddaddy used one for a long time. And all of the preachers that pastored, you know, the big churches and did all the conferences and stuff, they all used Scofield Reference Bibles. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, or who knows what else, where else you'll find it, if you've got a little O in your Scofield Bible, that little O is pointing you to a center column or to a footnote. And that little center column, Mr. Scofield adds, it is generally agreed, now listen carefully to this, it is generally agreed that verse 7 has no real authority or has been inserted. Now, folks, listen to me. We go by these study Bibles. And they'll have, now this one doesn't. It does have a center column with some cross references, but it doesn't have footnotes. It doesn't have commentary. But you'll go by a study Bible, like a Thompson Chain or a Ryrie Study Bible or a Criswell Study Bible or a John R. Rice Study Bible or a Scofield Reference Bible. I want you to understand that all of the things in this center column, or whether your column's off on the side, and all of those things that are down at the bottom called footnotes, none of that is inspired of God. Not a bit of it. That's one reason why the Alexandrian text got corrupted, because back in the day when they were copying Scripture, they did just like you and I did. They wrote notes in the margin of their text, and then when they gave it to somebody to copy the text, they wrote the text, but they also wrote the footnotes. You understand now? Now, Mr. Scofield said, it is generally agreed. Wrong. It was his opinion. It is generally agreed that verse 7 has no real authority and has been inserted. Now, when I get to heaven, before I get my glorified body, I'm going to ask, Charlie's the only one that got that. I'm going to ask Mr. Scofield when he saw John's original manuscript. I'm going to ask Mr. Scofield
How did he know that this verse had no real authority and had been added? Pray tell me, what in the world could he have ever seen that would make him say that? He didn't see anything, folks. He sat in somebody's Bible class, and old Dr. Mess with the Faith, or old Dr. Play with My Mind, or old Professor No More Than God, said the original manuscripts. Folks, listen, there are no original manuscripts. Nowhere. You say, well then, where'd we get this? Preservation. God preserved His Word pure so that you and I could have a Bible. I want you to know, this is the Word of God. We've got to have God's Word. Till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot, not one tittle will pass from the law. Folks, what does that mean? That means, listen to me and I'm done. That means that you will never, there will never be a day. Never. You'll never see this. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You could live to be 200 years old. And you will never live to see the day when somebody stands up and says, we have gathered here today in the sight of God to remember and pay our last respects to the Word of God that died. You'll never hear that. This book, the King James Version of the Bible, this book is God's inspired, preserved Word for the English-speaking world. And I'm just here today to tell you, you can trust it. And you know what our problem is? Our problem is, we don't read it. Dr. Smith sold me this Bible right here. This is a Cambridge wide margin. Wonderful, expensive Bible. When I saw how much it cost, I said, won't you just give me that? I said, you ought to just give me that. But he wouldn't give it to me. Made me pay for it, 60% off, but he made me pay for it. This thing's genuine cow. Genuine cow. It's got cowhide on it. It's tough. It's durable. But you know, if Jesus tarries His coming and I stay healthy, I've got about 8 others in my office that the bindings have worn off of them. Even though they're cowhide, they wear. And eventually this one will too. This one will eventually be worn. It'll fall apart. We've got the Bible. That's not the problem. This is going to wear out. Can I suggest you put this somewhere where it won't wear out? Right here. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Folks, you can trust your Bible. And I guarantee you, no matter what you have to face in life, this Bible will have the answer to get you through it. May God give us a love for His word. Folks, realize what you've got in your hand. You have the infallible, preserved, inspired Word of the living God. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Search it. Turn the television set off and read your Bible. It will change your life. Bow your heads with me. Father, we thank You for our time together this morning, and I pray that You will bless what's been said to our hearts. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to realize and understand the point. And Father, we've got to have Your Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Lord, we've got to have Your Word.
And so I pray that you will give us assurance and give us an understanding that what we have in this Bible is the preserved Word of the living God. Oh, dear Lord, just speak to hearts and bless and help us to go home with a renewed love for our Bibles. Lord, the only thing you ever put above your own name was your Word. Help us, Lord, to put your Word first in our lives. Just reading that Bible and getting to know the God that this Bible describes to us. Lord, give us a heart for your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.